Bald and blonde. Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast. Hear about tips, tricks, skills, tools, inspiration, mental hygiene, know what you want and how to create what you desire to achieve predictable results and create a content life wherever you are. And here are your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution. I'm your host from Australia, Kathy Tate, the Bald Warrior. And with me, as always, is your host from the Florida Keys, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hi, my dear friend, Kathy. So good to see you. And what an amazing night for me. I know for you, it's Tomorrowland morning. And yes, let's do it. Let's embrace the globe with all the time zones and all these billions of humans who all actually are alive because they have a heart. And our joy is to embrace them with our hearts, from our hearts to theirs. And that is what makes the world beat.
Absolutely. I love that introduction. And actually, we're going to do a special couple of episodes, Daisy, something we haven't really done before. We're going to do a two-part episode all around one of your books, The Island Model. Now, the reason I want to do this is not particularly because you're the author, sorry, but because I believe in I believe the concepts in the book are super important for humanity right now. There's been so much going on over the last year, 2 years, that I feel very strongly about helping people come back together and appreciate our similarities and cherish our humanity and grow together in a more connected way. And I think that the Island Model is a really great introduction as to how we can actually do that in an easy, simple way once we talk about it.
Well, I truly feel humbled by you choosing this and even allowing it to be in a two-part episode series. I feel humbled and I totally agree with you. This is not about me and this is not about me being an author. The message is so much more important than me. Why? Because the message reaches everyone and I'm just one of the billions. So therefore, the message is so much more important. And yes, I feel truly humbled and I think it is a great idea. And I appreciate your thought. And I also agree with you that humanity is at a tipping point where we either become enemies of ourselves and therefore to everyone else or many others, or we reunite with ourselves. I was listening to a very interesting philosopher the other day. I forgot his name. And he said, in order for us to bring peace into this world, we must be able to be peaceful human beings. And I so appreciate this thought because it totally aligns with my methods that I'm using and my ideas and my big vision for humanity and this beautiful, outstandingly beautiful globe we're living on.
Absolutely. And I do love that thought. So let's talk about the Island Model. I want to spend part one talking about the concepts within the book and why they matter. And then in part two, we're going to go on to some actual tools around how to put this into practice. So at the end of the two-part episodes, you're going to have a toolkit that you can go and practice this in your own life. And it is our intention that will enrich and improve your world. And hopefully we can multiply that around the globe. We know we've got 58 countries listening. So now's the time to share to somebody in another country, listeners. Mm-hmm. Let's expand this and really embrace the globe in the way we know we can, because we know that these concepts and lessons can actually make a difference for you. And we like to keep things reality-based and practical, so we're going to keep doing that. So let's start talking about the Island Model, Daisy. My understanding of the concept of the islands is to symbolize that we are all quite different and have our own set of characteristics, traits, experiences, conditioning even. We've all come through this certain set of circumstances that makes us all very unique from one another. And so an island is a great metaphor for that uniqueness.
Yes, I appreciate you pointing this out. Before I start speaking more about the metaphor itself, I would like to give credit to the lady who actually came up with the island model. And she is a very dear human being to me. I never met her in person. Nevertheless, she was one of my great teachers, Vera F. Birkenbiel. She was a German psychologist and management trainer, worldwide sought after, especially in German-speaking territory and also in English and the Netherlands. And so she was really just one of a kind personality. And she came up with this metaphor, the island model. I discovered the island model in 2010 and started further developing it. And actually in 2018, it turned out into a book that people can hold in their hands. And it is published in English language first, but it is already processed and it is already translated into German language. And it is going to be published very soon in the next 3-4 weeks. It will be out on the market. So I would like to give wholehearted credit to Vera for her concept. And then, of course, me using it with clients in one-on-one sessions and in workshops and showing it in seminars. There was one lady, Lily was her name, and she said, Daisy, you know you need to write this in a book. So somehow it's always my clients who push me and give me that kick in the booty. And then I sit down and then I write the book and then it's available. So the island model itself, it might be a little bit misleading when we hear the title, because when we think of islands, it's maybe about reggae, it's maybe about palm trees and sandy toes and salty kisses. Nevertheless, in this metaphor, it is not about that. And when we think about models, it could be either a model of a car when we talk to men, or when it's about ladies, then they may think of models like a pretty human being. Nevertheless, the island model is more a metaphor to describe very clearly that we as human beings live in an island. I understand in English this is grammatically not correct, but if we were living on an island, then we could leave at any given time. In this metaphor, the island represents all our dreams, our visions, the shattered dreams, the fears, the emotions, our concepts, our conditioning, our values, our standards, our thinking, the culture, the faith, the religion. And I could go on and on and on and on. But these are all things that are in our island, and we live in this island because, and I give a little bit of an insight here, in 2007, I almost moved to Brisbane, where you live. How funny life is. And I find it so amazing because I know Brisbane a little bit, but for sure it stays within me forever because I had a wonderful time. So arriving there in Queensland, in Australia, shortly after my arrival, I realized, interesting, the same principles, the same problems, the same issues, challenges, hardship faced me. Or I was facing it, who knows? We were looking at one another. Different shoe sizes, different hair color, different eye color, different initials, different citizenships. But the problems or the challenges were just exactly the same. That is when I realized that, oh, so I arrived in Australia. Let's not forget, I was born and raised in Germany and I traveled there from Europe. So how much farther away can you go from Europe? And Australia being a continent and an island somewhat, although it's a continent. So I was arriving there on that island continent and I faced myself because I didn't know. I took my own island with me. That is when I realized, okay, so wherever I go, I take my stuff with me. And that is when I went back to Europe. So I did not move physically to Australia, but I kept so many lessons and wisdom that I feel so fond of. And I so appreciate every second that I was there where you are now geographically. So the island model, it shows us that what we carry within ourselves, we take wherever we go. When I have doubts within me, I take those doubts when I go to work, when I drive a car, when I go to a restaurant, when I meet with friends, family, holidays, vacation, wherever I go. Sauna, so when we're getting a little bit more undressed, because the more we can dress up with external stuff, we have the feeling sometimes, which is actually misleading us, but we get the feeling that then we are maybe less vulnerable, or it is less visible what we carry in our islands. But it is truly an illusion, I found out.
Yeah, so this is a great concept. And despite the grammatical glaring in, I can live with that. Because I think that it really does visually give that picture, especially once you see the diagrams that are in the book. And we're going to put them on our website where you can just jump into the shop and we'll have a little like slideshow or something for you that we're talking about. So you can see these pictures. Yes, for free. Because the concepts are very nicely done in the pictures. It's nice and simple. And you can see there's a little bit of dirt, one little tree, and you're standing on your island.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's got their own little ones. So you can see they are their islands. Everyone's got their own. And so that's a really super important thing to acknowledge, I think, that one of the most amazing things I think about humanity is how unique we all are. And no matter your DNA even, we are all unique. Even identical twins are not completely the same because of their experiences and their individual perceptions. So every single one of us is completely unique and different. And I think that's a great thing. But I also think that we really need to acknowledge that because we make so many assumptions about people thinking the same way as us without thinking that we do that. And I think that's a huge sticking point. If we can get past those assumptions around thinking that other people think the same as you, I think it's a huge hurdle past right there. And so that's why I like how visual this is to show that we are in our own different island. Mm-hmm. We are all different, and that must be acknowledged as a starting point.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. In top of these assumptions, then we even dare to want others to be just like us. How far did we go with that globally? It became very visible over the past almost 2 years that forcing others to be like we are doesn't really work. We are unique. And not only are we unique, but we are individuals perceiving reality subjectively, every single one for themselves. Two people can be in the same theater, watching exactly the same play and perceiving it completely differently, although, let's assume, they have all their five senses functioning. Now, same time, same geographics, same play, same five senses, the input is the same because the play is one and only, and we still perceive it differently. Now, why do we perceive it differently? Because we do all have individual and subjective evaluation processes going on. Let's say you see a dog and I see exactly the same dog through my eyes and you see the same dog through your eyes. You will have a different, very subjective, very individual and unique perception of the dog.
Yeah, absolutely.
So therefore, how can I possibly as a human being dare to force on you to see the dog the way I do?
Presumptuous and arrogant when you put it that way, isn't it?
I wish I was taught this when I was a little girl. I was not. But I'm so glad that I learned it like 11 years ago, almost 12, and then further developed it. And I'd really like to give a big shout out to every single one of my clients, because every single one of my clients goes through the process of internalizing the island model. And every single time, it is just an epiphany. It's just like when you have 1,000 little light bulbs and they all switch on the same time. And once they heard my presentation of the island model, it goes so deep. And their understanding is so invaluable. It's priceless. It is just beautiful. And then they carry that with them wherever they go. No matter is it business, families, community, congregations, politics, even there. I'm staying out of that, but it is so empowering.
Yes, I can see that because it fundamentally shifts the way you perceive and therefore interact with others. Mm-hmm. So it's going to work everywhere, not just in one area of your life.
Yes, and do you know why? Because once you internalized it, then you within your island, with your island that you take with you wherever you go, you take it with you. And therefore, you have an impact wherever you go based on what you now carry within your own island.
Yes. I think it's super common for people to underestimate their impact as well.
I totally agree. And I must giggle because I was one of them.
Mm. Yes. Yes, I was too.
Yes. And now we are sitting here. You live on an island continent. And I live on an island physically, truly, not only my island, model island, but truly here in the Florida Keys. And you see the two islands, your island and my island, metaphorically, are connected. And now how did that happen?
Well, I know the answer to that.
Bring it on. It's all your fault.
Yeah, totally me. I own it. Gleefully. So concepts. We are in an island because it embodies all of our uniqueness. All of those things you rattled off a heap of stuff. I wasn't fast enough to note them all down, but including things like our dreams, our visions, our concepts, our values, our standards, our faith, our fears, our emotions, all our experiences, even our conditioning, all of it is embodied in our island. So you are your island.
I'm not sure about that. I need to give that some philosophical thought.
Okay. That's me just trying to do the grammar thing, isn't it?
I'll get back to you.
So we are the embodiment of all these things and we're super unique and the metaphor expresses that. And so now we can see quite clearly that we have billions of little islands. So the next step then is how do we make connections between the islands that would then create more positive human experiences for us all?
I have the feeling you are not pointing towards ants and it is not the right format to speak about what I think of ants, the little insects that are crawling here and there, because we can learn so much from them. But I think we do that in a video format one of these days. So how can we connect? I wonder, dear listeners, have you heard that humans apparently landed on the moon? I have no proof of it because I was just born when that happened. So I was not there. I have not seen it. I have not witnessed it. I didn't build the whatever flew up there, apparently. And I'm not a specialist to evaluate how real or not real that is, because I know that there's a division of people who believe it is true and there's another group of people who believe it never happened. I'm not discussing this. I respect you with your thoughts and your knowledge, and I appreciate that you have that, and I wish I had your knowledge so I can make up my own mind. So I'm indecisive about that. But apparently we were able, humans, to land on the moon. So we can go that far, but we cannot build bridges amongst humans. Let's face it, that's almost ridiculous, isn't it? I know it sounds like a judgment and maybe it is, but I think it's funny too, isn't it? Because we look alike, although we don't look alike, but at least we can recognize, okay, this is a human, this is not a human, usually, at least from the outside. What's going on in the inside is a different story. Again, another episode maybe, or a video. We're going there. Now, when I acknowledge that I am how I behave, and I behave based on what I carry in my island, or what is in my island, and then I just have a look from afar, there's another islander with their own island, with their own stuff on their island, in their island, their own beliefs, their own doubts, their own fears, their anxieties, their lack of self-esteem, their faith, their cultural conditioning, their education, their language, and so forth. How can I, from my island, think that their island would be just alike only because it looks like another islander with their own island? When I realize that I'm in my own island with my own stuff, which is subjectively perceived and evaluated, measured, therefore judged a little bit. We're trying to get off of that, but that's again another discussion. Then we can understand and appreciate that others have their own stuff in their island. Now, when I totally can be the observer without judging what is in their island and how I evaluate what's in their island, well, so you believe green is pretty? I believe green is ugly. So you see, there's the conflict coming in. For example, oh, so you believe this haircut is nice, or this skin cream is wonderful, or that medical doctor is fantastic. I can now see that you, based on what is in your island, the sum, the subtotal of it, makes you choose, decide, evaluate, this is good or not good. I like or don't like. I appreciate, I don't appreciate. I want, I don't want.
Yes, so I can see definitely what you're saying about how can we not look at each other and see just as much similarities as differences. And to me, those similarities are like kind of connection points where we can quite freely connect in a positive way. And I guess part of my hope that we can teach people to extend that.
Do you have doubts that you can extend that?
Oh, I said hope.
I caught you.
But I have this belief that if we work with people, we can extend it from the parts that are easy into the parts that may be a little bit more challenging, where we don't see things the same way. But I know that there are tools in your book that will help us teach our listeners how to build those bridges, so to speak. And we're going to get right into that in part two, guys. What we want to show you or talk to you today about is really the concept of why you're in an island, why it matters so much, why uniqueness matters, but that they are also, I think, the pathway to the bridges, because we can cherish our uniqueness. We're human beings. We're not supposed to be the same. And that's why we are different from ants, as smart as they are, and for as many lessons they have for us. We are uniquely such a creative species. And I wanted to touch on this because part of what the problem I see right now is that so much of the world is sitting in fear that they can't get into that creative side of themselves where we make solutions happen, where we change things, where we come up with ideas that are better, where we can really use our brain power. That's not going to happen while they keep us stuck in our reptile brain and keep us scared. So I think that's a super important thing to finish this episode on and really remind everybody that what we want to do here is give you the tools to not live like that. We don't want you living in fear. We want you to take power of your life back and learn how to live more fulfilled, to have better relationships with yourself and with your family, with all those other islands, guys.
Yes, with all the other islands and all the other islanders.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Well, not only does fear paralyze us, but it deprives us from accessing the creative and genie parts and pieces, regions in our brains. That is why it is so essential to get out of fear. I'm not saying it is easy. Fear can be very real, and there are very fearful and scary situations. I totally acknowledge that. Nevertheless, until we are in that state of fear, it's like the deer in the headlights. We're frozen, stock freeze. And that is very dangerous. And we want to give the opportunity to offer tools and skills to use these tools so you can take your power back when you are ready. Because who am I to tell you must be ready? I will not tell you that. No, I'm not even teaching anymore. In the past, I almost believed that I was teaching. And I just came to the conclusion when we did that symposium some months ago that what I can do, I can offer knowledge and deliver it in a way that you can embrace it. That's not teaching. I cannot teach you anything. I can deliver to you.
I think it's a bit like, and I'm sure you have your own saying in German, but we would say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
There you go. Therefore, there was a time in my life, I acknowledge and I apologize officially and openly. There were times when I believed that I could teach. No, all I can do is deliver knowledge in a way that you feel inspired and invited to acquire it.
It's very lovely. It's very gentle. Well, I guess for me, that kind of embodies the concept of what we're trying to do with this podcast. Mm. We don't want to push our opinions on anybody. We don't want to tell you you have to change or say you're ready now. What are you waiting for? It's up to you guys. We just want to give you the tools so that you can do it for yourself, because we're all on a very specific and individual journey. And as we've been talking about all episode, we're all unique and none of us have the same path. Mm. None of us will take the same steps to get there. But at least our goal is to give you some tools to help you on that journey.
That empower you.
Yes.
And
yes, absolutely empower you.
Yeah. I would like to add something in here. Who are we to know where you, dear listeners, stand in your journey? Where are you in your development? Who are we to tell you where to go? No, this is like a supermarket. This is a knowledge supermarket. And you pick what you like and you leave on the shelf what you don't. And that is up to you. It's your responsibility, your ability to respond to the offering we present here.
Yes, absolutely. So it's up to you guys. We hope you enjoyed part one of the Island Model. Make sure you tune into part two. We're going to get into some juicy tools to use to carry out this concept and actually implement it in our lives. So I'm really excited to give you guys that knowledge. I'm learning at the same time with you. Final words, Daisy, for part one.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to say some final words. My vision is that the Island Model will be available to acquire in all parts of this globe for everyone for free. I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. We as a team are working on it. We humans, those humans who see the value in it and who support this vision. This is not about me. It's about your individual island. And when you are at peace with your own island and in your own island, and imagine you meet other islanders who are just as peaceful and content in their own island, can you imagine what a life it will be for all of us? That's my vision.
I absolutely can see that vision. I think that you and I have a tiny piece of it here together, which is why our podcast works so well. So yes, I definitely share that vision and we hope you guys can see it too.
Much love to all the islands and islanders out there.
We'll see you for part two next week. Make sure you tune in and share with your family and friends. This is life-changing stuff, guys. Special edition, two-part episode of The Island Model, our very own host, Daisy Papp's book. But the concepts will improve humanity. I have no doubt whatsoever. That's it from us this week. Tune in, share, and support us on our website, baldandblonde.live. Thank you for your time and your support. We appreciate you all. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for tuning in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. If you love what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast. In our show notes, you find the link to our Facebook group where you can personally connect with Daisy and Kathy, and the link to our website where you can find all of our previous episodes and much more of goodies so you can get more value. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. That really helps out the show and helps us to get some powerful feedback from you. Talk to you soon.